Shut up and sit down.
Breakfast Benz podcast on a Thursday. Tim Benz with you. Glad you're with us. Steelers going through organized team activities on the south side these days. Second week of organized practices as the club gets ready for the 2023 season. I've been over there a bunch. I've written a lot about the offense so far, particularly Kenny Pickett's growth and maturation, the need for a more explosive offense in 2023. But how about the defense? A lot more versatility, I think, with defensive personnel this season. The Steelers seem to have loaded up with guys who can play multiple positions. That's a little bit of a sea change from what we've seen over the past few decades with the Steelers when it comes to finding very specific 3-4 outside linebackers, very specific 3-4 defensive ends, a very specific type of corner who plays outside or in the slot. Now we're seeing the Steelers load up with guys who could play multiple positions, and I think that's good because I think it expands the depth that the Steelers have. But there is something to be said for, while we're looking at the offense changing potentially a lot this year with a lot of different defensive personnel, even though the scheme might be very much the same, especially in the secondary, we're going to see a lot of different faces. So what does that mean in terms of communication? Talk to Cam Hayward about that, the defensive captain, after Tuesday's practice. We also got into the big picture defensive mentality for the Steelers and an overall look at where the Steelers might be going personnel-wise with their defensive front. Hayward gets into all those specifics here on the Breakfast with Benz podcast today.
You know, a lot of focus this year is how much can the offense evolve with Kenny in his second year and Matt working with him in his second year. From your guys' point of view, there's similarity and continuity within the defensive framework, but there's a lot of new bodies.
Right.
How does that, as a defensive leader, how do you monitor that through OTAs and going into minicamp to make sure everybody's evolving on the same page?
Communication. Not overlooking or assuming anybody knows what's going on. Having those not structured meetings, but, you know, meetings with guys where you just, what do you like to do here? What are your eyes looking at? Asking these questions. So, you know, by the time we get to training camp, we have a really good feel for that.
Pickett, Warren, Pickens, all three of those guys I talked to said that there's been a real emphasis on their side of the ball of winning on first down to put themselves in a better position to be more explosive on second and third down. Like, you know, get eight so you can, who knows what you're going to do on second and two kind of
right.
thing. Do you guys have a similar mantra on first down yourselves, or is there more of an emphasis in another aspect defensively?
I think there's definitely an emphasis on first down. You win first down, and you know, you put them off schedule, it works in your advantage. Most teams don't have a big playbook when they have longer yardage to go. So the more you win early on, the more you'll be able to take advantage and, you know, scheme some things up, throw different blitzes. If you're stuck in third and threes, third and fours, you know, it's very tight in our league. You got to make sure you are very detailed in that altogether, but it's hard to win in those situations.
One thing I've noticed, at least with some of the new guys that you guys have brought on board, maybe within the last 2 years, especially this year, is, I mean, for decades around here, the Steelers were always renowned for getting guys who are great at the specific tasks that they're asked to do. They were so good at finding prototype 3-4 outside linebackers, prototype noses, prototype ends and corners that played the way that they needed to play.
Yeah.
Now it feels like you've got guys who are more versatile in a lot of ways. Do you feel like there's more versatility within the personnel so that if depth is tested midway, late in the season, you got guys who can do multiple tasks?
So I think, you know, with the 3-4 ends, I always thought that the 3-4 ends have a lot of flexibility in that. Most guys, you would say, played inside in 4-3 schemes, and then in 3-4 they were, you know, that bookend type. And so I think when we brought in guys, they've always had a flexibility in there. But I think over the years, if you look outside just the defensive line look, if you look at our DBs, we have a guy like Minka who can play all over the field, and it almost helps our defense when you have that flexibility, having guys who can either drop or cover and rush or blitz. You know, you got to have you know, flexibility and positionless football sometimes because, man, the way the offense are now, if they get a beat on you and they know where you are every single time, it's going to be a long night.
So is that where the importance of guys like Leal and Benton come into play as they mature? So they seem to be guys who can play multiple positions. Yeah. Is that what you're talking about up front?
Up front, definitely. You know, you can't. It's hard to have just a straight nose anymore. You got to be able to, you know, at least be a rotational player in, you know, in a sub front or a nickel front or a dime front. And then, you know, I think you have to have guys who can play in a base structure, a 3-4 structure like we have, but then are able to play 4-3s and move around and feel confident and not feel like you're giving up much if you put them in different positions.
Almost feels like Herbig can be a little bit of that at the second level, too.
Yeah, you know, we'll see. It's all about just, you know, how much information can they take? Do they feel confident? I mean, if they're executing at a high level, then, you know, so be it. But we're not just going to throw a guy out there and say, hey, he doesn't know it. Let's throw him out there. He'll learn it. That's not fair to the entire defense.
All right, so my thanks to Cam Hayward. Be listening in the near future. We'll also have Patrick Peterson joining us on the podcast to look at the Steelers as we get ready for 2023 as well. Keep an eye out for the post that we're putting up today on Breakfast the Bens about the Steelers and their potential win total. The Bet Rivers win total right now is at 8.5 for the Steelers. I think that's a pretty good bet to go over. I like the Steelers at 10 wins this year. It's -150 to go for the over. So obviously Bet Rivers leaning in that direction as well as the money is coming in there optimistically about the Steelers. And I think it's fair to have a lot of optimism about where the Steelers are. I think there's reason to believe that this will be a better team. I think there's reason to believe that the schedule isn't all that daunting. But at the same time, the AFC North has a lot of parity, and I think the AFC is still very difficult, much more difficult than the NFC. So I think that could suppress the Steelers' win total. And in general, I think there's a big difference between saying that the Steelers are going to be a better team and that the Steelers are going to have a much better win total. I think the brand of football that the Steelers can play should be significantly better than what we saw in 2022, but I don't know if that's going to translate into a lot more wins. And actually, I think that says more about what the Steelers were in 22 than what it says about them now in 23. Because in 23, I think 10 wins is pretty reflective of a pretty good AFC team. I mean, after all, only the Bills, Kansas City Chiefs, and Bengals exceeded 11 wins last year. 10 wins got you, what, the first and second wild card slots a year ago with the Chargers and Baltimore Ravens. So being a 10-win team in the AFC is pretty good. I think the fact that the Steelers got to 9 wins last year is a bit more fluky and less representative of who they really were. I mean, they beat up on a completely puss second half of the schedule. They only played 3 teams that were playoff participants. Baltimore twice without Lamar Jackson and the Bengals once. They lost 2 of those 3 games. So they really beat up on some lesser lights of the NFL in the second half of the season. And let's also remember they got a gift with the injured long snapper in the game against the Bengals in week 1. So was that really a 9-win team? I don't think so. I think a jump to 10 wins is more reflective potentially of increased improved play from the Steelers than just what the one game in the standings might say from 2022 to 2023. But we can talk about that more as the season rolls along. Stay with us for our fantasy sports podcast as well. Maybe we'll get into some of that with Jeff Erickson from RotoWire. We'll have that coming up for you later on here on a Thursday. And tomorrow we talk baseball with Kevin Gorman as the Pirates get ready to host the Cardinals after their road trip out west. And we'll see if June can be better than what May was for the Pirates. Kevin Gorman, our Pirates beat writer, tomorrow here in the Breakfast of the Bens podcast.